Remain standing for the reading of the scriptures together. Our text this morning will come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. It's on page 729 in your pew Bibles. These are the words of him who reigns on Zion's sacred height. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And this is the word of the Lord.
You may
be seated. So the one of whom we just sang, the one who rules from Zion's sacred height, according to his promise, even in the days of deepest darkness and shadow and despair, there is always hope. And the light is never extinguished. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali would be the first to bear the weight of invasion. And as they would face the invading Assyrian army, they would be the first victims. It would be their fields and their homes that would be attacked first. They would be in a season of darkness under military invasion. And what does he say about the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, which would receive the brunt of the invading Assyrian king? The Assyrians, who are described in chapter 8. We can go back to chapter 8. He is described as sweeping on into Judah, verse 8. Overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck. Its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. So what does he say regarding this land that would receive the flood of invasion? In the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So for those who would face the invading armies under the Assyrian king, those peoples of the land would eventually see a great light. And even the exiles, even after being carried away, carried into exile. Exile is pictured for us in Ezekiel chapter 37. It is as a valley of dry bones. It is as a valley of the shadow of death. That's the language Isaiah is using here in verse 2. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. That language, deep darkness, that's our language from Psalm 23. The valley of the shadow of death. Those who dwelt in that valley of dry bones, the Spirit of God would come, the Spirit of God would prophesy, the Spirit would preach, and the bones would rattle together, and the people of Israel would be lifted out of the pit, they would be raised, they would be returned, they would come back to the promised land. They would see a great light. So for the land of Naphtali and Zebulun under invasion, the invasion would not be permanent. For those in exile, they would be lifted out of the valley. And ultimately, these words would be lifted and fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is quoted as entering into the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. You read this afternoon the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. Take 10 minutes this afternoon and you read Matthew chapter 4, 12 through 16. And then you compare it with what Isaiah says here. Who is the one who fulfills this great light? Whose light is it that the land of Galilee would see? Who is it that they would behold? Whose voice would they hear? Whose message would they receive? The peoples who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, the shadow of death, on them has light shined or dawned. Darkness takes many forms. Darkness can be deeply felt. The Lord Jesus, when He speaks to those dwelling in darkness, He's not just speaking to those who are enduring outward affliction under invasion. He is speaking to those who are enduring the dark night of the soul. Darkness can be deeply felt. Job curses the day he was born. He describes his face, which had been covered with weeping. He describes his face in Job 16, verse 16, as a place of deep shadow. Darkness can be deeply felt. Kids, how would you describe, if you were to go out at night after your bedtime, so if you got to go outside after your bedtime in January, what would the air feel like? Would it feel the same as it does in the middle of the summer? No. Darkness can be cold. Darkness can be isolating. Darkness can be frightening. Do you remember as a child when you were afraid of the dark? Do you remember what that felt like? The absolute terror that would grip you. Do you remember? Darkness can be deeply felt. It can be confusing. Utterly bewildering. Where do you go? Where would you turn if there were no light? That darkness of the soul can be brought on from a whole number of reasons. To walk in darkness can be brought on from your own sin. Sin can bring a heavy, depressing weight of despair that crashes down upon you. And it's like a wet blanket that wraps around your head and you can't see. Deep darkness can descend upon you due to sin, especially unconfessed sin. David describes the effect, the physical effect of unconfessed sin in Psalm 32. We're going to sing Psalm 32 in just a few minutes. David describes the effect of unconfessed sin. It's like his bones are wasting away. That darkness of the soul can come on due to sin. It can come on due to simple confusion. Complete uncertainty. You're at a crossroads in life and you know not which road to take. And the confusion can put your mind in a tangle. And there is a complete dimness of vision and you do not see past the nose in front of your face. Darkness. It can be brought on by sin. It can be brought on by confusion. Loss. Loss of any sort. Loss of a loved one. Loss of income. Loss of place. Loss of position in life. Loss of bearing, loss of any sort can leave a massive hole, can leave a black hole. The darkness can come on for a variety of reasons. Darkness, it's coldness, it's isolation, it's terror. Can be deeply felt. And you and I are buried in that darkness of the soul until the light of the world shines in the gospel. Until the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus. Until that point, you and I remain in that dark night of the soul, where there is only coldness and terror and isolation and despair. You and I remain in that place until those, look at this language. Look at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. I want to ask you this day, have you seen the great light? From where you sit, have you seen the great light? Upon your soul, has that light dawned? Has it shined upon you? We have an enemy who wages war against the soul, who blinds our minds, and he would keep you in the darkness. Have you seen the great light? We have a Redeemer, we have a Messiah who came to destroy those works of the devil and to roll back the shadows. And to remove the scales from the eyes. Have you seen the great light? Darkness can be deeply felt. But there is a Savior of light and beauty and glory. And what does He do? What does the Lord Jesus do? How does Matthew describe Jesus' work in Matthew chapter 4? Upon those who walked in darkness, on them has light shined. And so I want to ask you, have you seen the great light? What does the light bring? And when you experience the dawn, what does it bring? Instead of coldness, it brings warmth. It brings heat. What does the light bring? It brings the spring thaw. It brings the loosening and the chipping away of the ice. It brings warmth. It brings nourishment, body and soul. The physical light, the physical sun brings nourishment, body and soul. It feeds, it fortifies your physical frame. When the Lord Jesus shines, what does He bring? He brings nourishment, body and soul. There is a change. There is a feeding not only of your spiritual core, there is also a change to your physical frame. What we will sing in just a few minutes, there was a physical change that came over David as he experienced the forgiveness of sin. Have you experienced the dawn? What does the light bring? He brings warmth. He brings the feeding of the soul. The light brings color. Kids, have you ever gone down to the beach and have you ever seen the sun rise over the water? How would you describe the sky? So, at the breaking of the day, when the sun is just waking up, how would you describe the look of the sky? It's full of color. What does the light bring to those who are walking in darkness? For those who, when they open their eyes, they see nothing but gray. What does the light of Christ bring? Does He not bring color? And with that color, does He not also bring beauty? What does the light bring? Have you experienced the dawn? Has He brought beauty? No, is that not what the gospel brings? The gospel is like this vast temple. It's like the spiritual temple, Zechariah says. Zechariah chapter 4. And the temple is laid with shoutings of grace. Grace unto it. But there is a beauty. What does the light bring? It brings warmth from the coldness. He brings life. He brings color. He brings beauty. He brings direction. When the light is switched, you can see. Is that not what many of you are awaiting? That confusion has descended and you know not which way to turn, and you're waiting for the clouds to break. Have you experienced the dawn? What does He bring? He brings that warmth. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, the land of the shadow of death, on them has light shined. How does He bring this light? How does the Lord Jesus, how does the light of the world, how does He bring such warmth, such beauty, and such color? How does He bring this lifting of the fog? What does He do? How is this light brought? How is it brought about? Well, it's brought about through His person. It's brought about through who He is. Who is Isaiah speaking of? Who has He been speaking of? When Isaiah, when he had this vision of the glory of the Lord there in the temple, and His train filled the temple, who did he behold? The Apostle John, what did he say that Isaiah saw? John chapter 12, verse 41. Isaiah saw His glory. He saw the glory of Christ. Who did Isaiah speak of? Of whom did Isaiah speak? He's speaking of that one born of the Virgin. He's speaking of that one who is the sanctuary. He's speaking of the stone of stumbling. He's speaking of the one who speaks from the waters of Siloah. He's speaking of Christ who possesses a people. Christ who possesses children. Christ who will stand for His own. He's speaking of Christ. How is the light brought? Is it not brought through the person of Christ? If I were to ask you, what do you love about Jesus? What do you love about Christ? What do you love about Him? Not things that He does, not the gifts that He gives you, not the blessings that He bestows, but Him, His person, His character. What do you love about Him? Not what He's able to give you, but what do you love about Him, His person? Is He not described as the light of the world? Does David not speak? 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. Here's David singing one of his last songs. And David speaks of the Lord. He calls the Lord his lamp. Who is the Lord for David? He is David's lamp. How does the Apostle Paul describe Christ? He is the one who reflects that light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what? Here is the gospel that Christ Himself is given to you. Jesus, the very person of Jesus. How is the light brought about? It's brought about through Jesus Christ, Son of God, fully God and fully man. It's brought about through the person of Jesus. That's it. That's how He brings it. That's how the light is shown. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Is He not the theme of your song? Is He not the one who stirs your blood? Is He, His person, is He not the one who quickens your pace? Who opens your lips to declare His praise? Is Jesus, His person, again, not just what He gives you, no, but who He is. The beauty of His person. That's how the light is brought to you. You look unto Him. Come unto Me, He said. Not come to what I can give you. Come unto Me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He brings light. He brings light through His own person. He Himself is the light, the radiance of the glory of God. But He also brings that light through His truth. How is that light channeled to you? How is that light shown upon you? How would the people in Zebulun and Naphtali, when Jesus began His Galilean ministry in Matthew chapter 4, how would those people dwelling in darkness experience the light? What would the person of Jesus bring to those people? If you were to read those verses this afternoon, the very next statement that is made, at that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How does He bring the light? How does the person of Jesus shine this gospel, this radiating light? He shines those beams through His truth. To the law and to the testimony. Is that not what Isaiah has already said? Look back up at chapter 8 and verse 20. He says, to the teaching and to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. There is no light in them. How does the Lord Jesus beam the light upon your soul? He brings the truth to bear. He brings the law and the testimony. He brings the teaching. He brings the word. He speaks, and listening to His voice new life the dead receive? Where does gospel light flow? It takes a definite form, doesn't it? It takes a certain shape. What does the beam look like? I used to be just confused about when I was a kid, and you would see the beams of light flowing through a window, and you'd see the little dust particles floating around, and the little dust particles, you couldn't see them unless they were caught in the beam shining through the window. But because of the dust particles, you could see the beam, you could see the light. You could see the shape that it took. What definite shape does the beam of gospel light take? What lights it up? What gives it definite form? No, is it not the teaching and the testimony? The law and the testimony, His Word, His Word, every word that flows from His gracious lips, are those not the dust particles that give shape and form to the beam of gospel light? Y'all, how does this light shine on those who walk in darkness? For those of you, if your very face has resembled a deep shadow of despair and a pit of sorrow, how does the light beam upon you? Come under the light of the truth. Come under the Word. Come under the Scriptures. Come under the law and the testimony. Oh, what does Jesus do? Jesus speaks. And what does Jesus say about His spoken words? John 15, I have spoken these words unto you so that your joy might be full. How is joy restored? How is that light, that beauty, how is that warmth, how does that thaw initiate? It initiates under the burning focus of the truth, under the law of the Lord. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Have you seen the light? Have you seen this great gospel beam that flows from heaven? Have you seen this warming, thawing, relieving, liberating light? What does it bring? And how does He bring it? He brings it through Himself. He brings it through His truth. So my last question for you is, can you behold this Lord of the covenant? This Lord of the nations? Can you behold this Christ who is the light of the nations? I want to read to you from what Isaiah says about Him. What Isaiah says in chapter 42. Listen to what Isaiah says about this Lord Jesus, about this coming Christ, this coming Messiah. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. Who is Christ? But He Himself. He in His person. He is the covenant. He is the light of the nations. Listen to what He says in Isaiah 49. Listen to these words from Isaiah 49 and verse 6. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Okay, so the land of Naphtali and the land of Zebulun, it's not just that those two tribes will receive the light. It is that those two nations, they are pictures of the nations that will receive this gospel light. Galilee, look at verse 1. The land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, Galilee of the Gentiles. Embrace this Lord of the covenant. How do these These gospel beams, how are they brought to you? They're brought to you through the person and through the work of Christ, the covenant, and the light of the nations. That is how they are brought. Why should you look to Christ? Because He alone is the light. He alone is given as the covenant. Look away from yourself. Look away from the dark night of the soul. Look at this flickering light that shines in the darkness. Look unto Christ. Look unto Him. What does He bring? As He brings this light, what does He bring? What does He bestow upon you? Y'all, does He not give you a promised justification? Does He not bring you a promised pardon? A pardon for sin? An acceptance before God? Oh, does He not bring you that warmth of knowing that you're no longer in exile? You are no longer a stranger. Regardless of what coldness earthly circumstances might bring, you are no longer shut out the door. No, you are now in that warm light of Christ. You are there in the house. You're seated there at the table. He brings a perfect and full justification where your sin is pardoned and you yourself are accepted. And you are declared righteous in His sight. Does He not bring a full reconciliation with God? You that were in the far country, you that were walking in darkness and preferring the darkness, wandering away from Him, running from Him, departing from Him, not wanting anything to do with Him. Has He not reached out to you in the far country? And has He not brought you near? Those of us who were far off, has He not brought near by the blood of Christ? What does Jesus do? Does He not bring you justification? Does He not reconcile you? Does He not adopt you into His home? Remember, I and the children whom God has given me in chapter 8. That Christ has His own children who have been freely given to Him, adopted. They are His adopted children. Who is He called? Everlasting Father. That He brings you this full justification, reconciliation, adoption into His household. That He brings you this full sanctification. That the gospel light shines and it beams. And what does it do? It renews you from the inside out. It thaws your heart of stone. It thaws the iceberg of opposition to Him. It thaws the deepest, the thickest sheet of ice. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Oh, so you look unto Christ. Go to this Lord of the covenant. Go to this Lord of the nations. Go to this one who has promised not only a full justification, acceptance, reconciliation, adoption, sanctification. You go unto Him who has promised to preserve you in His keep until your last day and to give you a home in glory. Forever. You go unto Him. You go unto Him who reigns from Zion's sacred height. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And as they heard that word of the Messiah, what did they do? They responded. With all that they are, with all that they had, did they not repent? Turning unto Him, acknowledging His mercy, acknowledging His goodness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'll leave you with these words of the Apostle Paul. You are light in the Lord. How he describes a Christian. You are light in the Lord. And then he very quickly says, walk as children of light. Amen. Would we all do so? Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, that you would open the windows of heaven and that gospel light would flow freely. And, O Lord, that we would know what it is on this day to rejoice greatly as the sons and daughters of Zion. But that we would rejoice greatly that our King has come proclaiming the kingdom of God. And that you, Lord Jesus, the light of the world, that you have shown the light of your truth. Oh Lord, we pray that on this day that Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings, and that you would bear us aloft on eagle's wings to yourself. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.